On February 14, 2018, a shooter entered Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, and went on a shooting rampage that would result in 17 people, students and teachers, dead. All of us here at the Alexandria Archives and those who belong to our production company, Miscellaneous Nerdery, are natives of Florida, even if not all of us currently live there. I, myself, currently live in Broward County, the county in which Stoneman Douglas High School resides. For all of us, we know Stoneman Douglas either because they were a rival school of ours when we went to high school, or because we have family and friends who either went, or in some cases still go there. This was a horrible, awful, disgusting, needless tragedy that has torn families apart and has changed the lives of the survivors forever. But there is something we can do, Wendigos. Right now on GoFundMe, there are two Fund Me pages that I want to bring to your attention. The first is the Stoneman Douglas Victims Fund, which is raising money to aid the survivors and the families of the victims. The second is March for Our Lives, and was created by a survivor of the shooting, who is planning a march on Washington to demand of our government action on some long overdue gun regulation. I'm not here to make an empowered political war cry, though I do feel strongly about these issues. I'm here to offer up a means to help these causes until March 24th. When you shop at our store, alexandriaarchives.com, and use the promo code NEVERAGAIN, you will receive 20% off your entire order, and 100% of the proceeds of those sales will go evenly to those two causes. Again, that's alexandriaarchives.com/shop, and use the promo code NEVERAGAIN. We will also be donating our Patreon funds this month. If nothing in our shop appeals to you, if you don't need a pint glass or another shirt, I implore you, please, please go to these GoFundMe pages, which can be found at gofundme.com/Stoneman Douglas Victims Fund and marchforourlives.com and clicking on the donate button and donating what you can. If you're short on cash but still want to find a way to help or get involved, go to marchforourlives.com and find out what local events near you are happening. No child deserves to go to school and be afraid that that day is the day that someone is going to kick open the door. Every child everywhere deserves to feel safe in their own school. And for those who are scared, we as Wendigos have an obligation to extend our hands and offer what help we can beyond thoughts and prayers. As Wendigos, we are proud and tough and compassionate and supportive. Visit alexandriaarchives.com/shop and use promo code NEVERAGAIN to receive 20% off your order and help us do our part to ensure that this school shooting will be the last. Good luck, and ia ia, Wendigos.
Good night, Alexandria, and ia ia, Wendigos. It's just after midnight, and you're here with your special guest host for the evening. Why don't you introduce yourself, little buddy?
I'm not. This is the Revelator.
And I'm the Buzz from the Morning Munch, here to rock out with my...
Is that what those switches are for? Jiminy crickets.
Keep up, would you, buddy? All right, folks. If you're wondering where your usual host, Morning Wood, is tonight, I'm sorry to say that she's out with a sinus infection.
You got knocked the f*** out, man!
But no worries. Me and the Revolutor have got your backs.
That's the Revelator. I don't even think Revolutor is a word.
Whatever.
Whatever!
Oh, man, is it late or what? Tell you what, buddy, I could really use a cup of Joe right about now. Why not, be a pal and grab me some?
Seriously? Do you even know where the damn coffee pot is?
Not a clue. Don't you have people for that kind of thing?
Who are you?
Just a red-blooded American man who loves his Wendigos, that's who. Anywho, let's get this show on the road. Why don't we take a call?
Did you want me to? Fine. Caller one, you're live.
My sink is bleeding.
Come again?
I said my sink is bleeding. It's been doing this on and off for like a week now. I put in 3 different requests with facilities, but they keep saying they can't do anything about it until they can identify the source.
Of the blood?
I said it's coming from the sink, didn't I? But they can't tell if it's demonic in nature or the result of some hedge witch curse. Morningwood usually has some good resources about this kind of thing.
She isn't here right now.
Have you had any reason to suspect you might be under some kind of surveillance? Heard any muffled voices in the phone lines? Observed any cars following you from a distance?
No. That all sounds kind of mundane in comparison.
Yes. Your problem is very, niche. I think you might be better off calling next week when Morningwood is back on the air.
Ugh, fine. But facilities better not give me any shit about the stains. I will be getting my deposit back.
Okay, let's try another call. Caller two, what's the good word, Homeslice?
Psychometry.
Come again?
Psychometry. I've been experiencing it off and on since the start of the semester. At first, I thought I was just imagining things. I don't know, maybe due to stress or something. I'd touch a doorknob and see a glimpse of everyone else who'd touched it that morning. I'd reach for the tongs at the breakfast buffet and find out a student worker had used them to clean out a sink drain that night. It's making me something of a germaphobe. The weather has been mild, but I've started wearing gloves. People are looking at me funny.
Have you tried student counseling services?
Even if student counseling had the funding and the manpower to help me, I think this is out of their realm of expertise. That's why I wanted to talk to Morningwood.
Well, sorry, Duder, but she's not here right now. Call back next week?
Fine.
Where are these people coming from?
Should we take another call?
I don't know, man. You take one.
Okay. Caller three.
Oh, hey. I want to talk about aliens.
Oh, well, that's great. I can help with that.
Not the interplanetary type. The interplanar type.
The what?
You know, instead of aliens coming from outer space, like the ones that move in between dimensions, existing in neither this world nor the other. Kind of like the...
Call back next week. Caller four, you're on the air.
Ugh, my hair hurts.
Next week.
This is insane.
Listen here, guy. During the day, AU might be all dude bros and giggling freshmen, but when the lights go out, she's a horse of a different color. AU isn't a school, it's a bestiary. And Morningwood, she's their handler. I don't think either of us are qualified for this.
Can we do the thing?
The what?
You know, the thing. That thing she does with the freaky stories.
Ah, yes. That might be wise. All right, AU, listen up. Submitted for your approval by WHAU The Wow Signal, and in association with the Alexandria UFO Cooperative.
And Morning Munch with Frankie and the Buzz.
I hereby open the doors to the Alexandria Archives. Enjoy.
Like many kids, I've always felt I didn't belong. People say I shouldn't blame it on my parents, that it's just the teenager in me trying to rebel against them. But even if they're not to blame, they're the main reason I've been trying to run away since the age of 14. My mother used to work as a social worker in Ukraine. If you asked her how a small-town girl from the US ended up in Ukraine, she would tell you it was providence or destiny or something contrived like that. That was where she met my father, who worked for the US Embassy. They always tell people how their time in Kiev was the best time of their lives, so when they had to move back to America, they wanted to take something from there with them. That's how they decided to adopt me. There's a surprisingly high amount of kids that get given up for adoption in Eastern Europe. I was just one of many, and Mom didn't have to pull too many strings to make it possible for them to make me theirs. She'd told me too many times how she knew she would adopt one day the moment she started working with broken families. Too many children are without parents or with parents who don't know how to raise a kid, she said. It was never about them not being able to have biological kids of their own. They even gave me a brother a few years later. It was my brother I was thinking about the second to last time I tried to run away. I knew he must be suffering as much as I was, but there was nothing I could do for him. It couldn't be helped. It was the coldest winter in decades, and all of Alexandria was covered in a thick layer of white. Walking through the snowy woods bordering the swamp in the middle of the night was maybe not the best idea I've ever had, but my years of being a scout weren't for nothing. I'd equipped myself with a sleeping bag, layers of warm clothes, and a big thermos of boiling hot coffee. I figured this would be enough to get me through the night. 2 years of being a well-known escape artist led to every bus and police station having my description on the runaways' hot list. It had become downright impossible for me to escape Alexandria, but if I could make it out of the town limits on foot, I thought I might stand a chance. Compared to some people, my parents are great. I know that. It's not like they're abusive or anything, they're just so goddamn smothering. Try Googling helicopter parents and then click on the I feel lucky button. You'll see their picture. After living year after year with them surveilling my every move and every decision, not letting me do anything slightly exciting, joining me on every school trip and birthday party, it was exhausting. And the agender thing, don't get me started. They couldn't understand. Couldn't even pretend to understand. They acted like it was just another rebellion. Rebellion. My rebellions were coping mechanisms. Smoking, drinking, and partying hard weren't strangers to me, but lately it hadn't been enough. I needed more. I needed to go. Even as I walked through an ankle-deep layer of snow, the most the Dismal had seen since the blizzard that nearly wiped out the town, I had no regrets. The air was fresh. My breath made clouds every time I exhaled, and through the naked branches I could see the night sky. It was filled with distant cold stars and the moon was almost full. Out in the open like that, it was the freest I'd felt in a good while. I was walking down one of the numerous unlit roads leading out of Alexandria. The snow muffled the night sounds. Not that there was anything to make sounds anyway, it was just me and maybe some wild creatures deep in the swamp. Some people would have been scared of gators or ghosts or swamp things, but I'd always liked the woods, even during the nighttime. It was even more magical with the snow covering every surface. Distracted, I slipped on some ice and fell on the road. I was more surprised than hurt. It was actually pretty funny. So I laid down in the middle of the road, laughing at myself and making a snow angel. Laying down, I could see the stars even better. And then, as if on cue, a shooting star glittered green across the night sky, leaving me feeling a sense of awe and fear as it faded away. God, it was beautiful. A rising sound caught me by surprise, a distant hum coming closer and closer. I sat up to see where the noise was coming from, and as I turned my head, I saw headlights. They were still far off, but I could tell they belonged to a large vehicle. It was driving fairly quickly, considering the roads on this area weren't that well kept, and the snow and ice would only make things worse. Still, it was far enough away that I took my time standing up and walking back to the side of the road. Now that the vehicle was driving closer, I could see it was a bus. One of the routes headed out of Alexandria. It was actually just the bus I would have taken if it weren't for the great big wanted sign over my head, and I thought for a second of trying to catch a lift. Maybe the driver would pick up a lonely teenager by the road in the middle of the night. Maybe he wouldn't recognize me. Surely he wouldn't just leave me out here, would he? But I decided not to risk it. If I had walked all the way this far, I could get myself out of town as well. So I just stood there and waited as the bus drove past me. Except the bus wasn't going forward anymore. It was sliding, sideways, and then it was rolling over and over out of the road toward the woods, hitting the trees, and then there was smoke and fire and they said it was one of the worst accidents the town had seen in decades. They said there was nothing I could have done, and it was a miracle I had been there to witness the crash in the first place. They said the few passengers and the driver were all dead by the time the vehicle's gas tank exploded. They said it had been quick. Everyone blamed the accident on different things. It was the terrible weather, it was the piss-poor condition of the road, the driver was drunk, everyone had a theory. Whatever the case, my parents finally lost it. They'd always tightened their grip on me and my brother after every attempted runaway, but this time it was different. They were so shook by the idea that I could have been on that bus that I wasn't only grounded, but under near constant supervision. My parents took me to school, checked on me during the day, and picked me up afterwards. They wouldn't even let me walk our dog without one of them. Like I'd run away with a dog. Too complicated. I didn't have many close friends, but I got help from the only other agender student I knew, one of my poetry classmates. They brought me some snacks, and little by little, I collected enough money in secret for a bus ticket and some extra. It was only about a month after the accident when our final classes were canceled. The snow had melted into sludge and hardened into ice, and there'd be no school until conditions improved. So I took my chance after the final bell and stayed behind, hiding in the janitor's closet. I didn't have much time to act. I knew when I wasn't waiting for my parents to pick me up outside that they'd assume I slipped past them. There was no telling how long it'd take them to figure out I'd never left. Sometime after dark, I came out of my hiding place and snuck out through a classroom window. I made my way toward the bus station. So long as I didn't bump into a cop on my way, all would go well. I'd never seen the bus station as empty as it was now. Everyone was too scared to ride public transit after the accident, even though nothing had been wrong with the bus itself. Aside from me, the only other people in the station were a pair of drowsy AU students headed out of town. Is it odd that at that moment, I felt more close to those two, tired and trying to get out, than to my own parents? Getting on the bus was easier than I thought. The driver was chatting with another rider as I boarded, trying my best to look inconspicuous. He didn't even bother looking up at me as he took my ticket. He was telling her that she shouldn't worry about the accident, that he hadn't known the driver, but he was still going to take it real easy tonight. And then he told us ladies to get to our seats. When he turned away, I flipped him off in my head for assuming. He kept his promise of driving carefully down the icy roads, slow enough that it had me grinding my teeth. I sat in the back row, the two students a few rows ahead of me. From my seat, I didn't have to worry about the driver getting a good look at me, and I had a great view of the road ahead and of the woods surrounding us. The angle was bad to see the night sky, but I still managed to glimpse a glittering green shooting star. I felt that bizarre mix of awe and fear once again, but it quickly subsided. The driver put the radio on, and I could hear students talking to each other quietly. I wondered where they were headed and why they were traveling so late. Were they headed to something or from something, like me? Then I saw something moving on the road in front of us. I never really had a plan for what I would do if and when I'd successfully run away. I never got that far. I don't know if I really wanted to do anything. I think I would have been satisfied just to keep on running. Maybe after a while, I would have found a place where I could feel like I belonged. Maybe. I watched as we got closer to the thing in the middle of the road. I side-eyed the driver, but it seemed he hadn't seen it, or maybe he didn't care. He might have known it had moved from our way before we'd hit it, and so it did. Without haste, like in slow motion, the thing on the road got up and moved to the side of the road, and the closer we got, the more anxious I grew. I couldn't stop staring. I don't know how or what or why. That was until I saw it was me. Oh, Christ, it was me right there on the side of the road. Around me, time squealed to a near stop as the blood pumped thunderously in my ears. I jumped off of my seat screaming, "Stop the bus!" The driver jerked the wheel in his surprise, and I leaped for the handbrake, and as I jerked it down, and as the bus began to slide, and as the world began to tilt and crane as the tires left the road, all I could do was stare back at myself. And how terrified I looked.
So, we're done now, right? We can go?
I suppose so.
Oh, thank God. Let's get the fuck out of here, man.
Agreed. Wendigos, it's been an enlightening evening. I think I speak for both the Buzz and myself when I say this is not an experiment I care to recreate, and that I hope I never hear from any one of you people ever again.
Dude, come on.
Good night, and good luck, Wendigos. It's dark out there.